Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work. Welcome, Anna Bocchino, on The Work. So glad you're here with me today.
I am so excited to be here. In fact, I just thought of something because we're going to talk about multiple streams of voiceover income. And so as I've tried to write them all down, but then they keep coming to me. So I just have to write.
I love that. Coming to you because you have like a nonstop flow.
Well, I'm trying to remember, like, what have I been paid for in the last year and just remember all the different categories. But yeah. Hi. I'm so excited to be here. I am on an episode of The Work.
Yeah, you are.
Work.
So let's talk about your beginnings before Self-Management for Actors, before Bonnie Gillespie. Yeah. How did you get going in this whole showbiz thing? What was your creative spark?
Well, I always wanted to be an actor ever since I was a little girl. But luckily, the world talked me out of it. And I mean, luckily for all the therapists that I've had to pay over the years to make peace and psychics and, you know, woo-woo spiritual gurus and everybody I've paid money to make peace with me being an artist, to allow myself for it to be okay. I don't think I'm out of the norm there. Where I grew up, I grew up in Arlington, Virginia, and with my mom. My dad was in Alabama, but it just, for both of them, it just wasn't like a thing. Like, you don't become like, what are you going to join a traveling minstrel troupe and like make your living doing that? Like, no, you're not going to be an actor. That it just wasn't in the realm of possibility. So it was like, oh, that's cute. She likes to dance and do ballet and do the plays. And she does the funny voices. And I think there was the first character I ever invented was named very uncreatively. Her name was Susie. I had a whole bit and we have VHS tape of that or Betamax tape of that somewhere. I have to find it. Susie. And I think it was probably born out of, I think I was younger than that, but I was very jealous of my little half brother. So I had to do something to entertain the troops while you know what I mean? To compete with that cute baby. I always wanted to do comedy. I always wanted to do acting. I always wanted to dance. I always wanted to sing, but I never saw a viable path to it. So even in college, when I was at Emory, I was like, well, I'm going to be pre-law and major in history and French, which, by the way, are terrible majors if you want to do anything practical other than teach history or French. I bet people are going to come on here and correct me, but no, it's well-rounded, I suppose. But I think I paid off my last student loan and I realized I don't even remember how to speak French anymore. So good thing I majored in it. But then I took my LSAT my junior year in college and I realized I had just started an improv theater with 8 of my closest friends in Atlanta called Whole World Theater. And I realized I don't want to be a lawyer. I want to be an actor. I want to be the lowest paid kind of actor, which is an improv actor. It's the truth. And, but we wound up starting that theater. It's still there to this day. That was 21 years ago.
What let you know that could happen? Because
I saw an improv trip in DC called GNP, Gross National Product, and they did all this DC political humor type of improv. And I was like, that's amazing. And then when I was at Emory, the day of orientation, there's a group called Rathskeller, which is the oldest collegiate improv troupe in the country. And I saw them do a show on the first day of school. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to improvise because then I can do my characters and have fun and I got in the troupe as a freshman, which is doesn't really happen that often. So I trained with them. And then when a bunch of us got together to start this theater, there's a guy at Second City, a few people from other improv troupes. We all got together and started this theater and it was trial by fire. I wound up doing over 1,000 improv shows there. Wow. And because of that, in Atlanta, it's such a small community. When there's a good, if you're performing, you're going to get scouted. So I was scouted by all the local agencies and I just kind of started building up my resume and did all the local commercials and then I did my first voiceover job when my daughter was one. I booked an AT&T national and all I had to say was, it was a conversation with another woman where we were basically like, what are you doing? Eating a donut. What are you doing? That donut sounds good. I know. I'm hungry. I want to eat another donut. Like, that was it. And I was like, that's all you have to do is have a conversation and you get like $20,000.
And yes. Talk about donuts? My God.
Talk about donuts, which is what I would do anyway for free over the phone with my girlfriend. Yeah, I'll do that and get paid. And that was like more money than I'd ever seen in one place in my entire life. And I just always wanted to do it, but I didn't study it officially until I moved out here, which was a couple years after that.
So let's, even though you and I have Atlanta in common, that's not where we first
intersected.
I remember you from the Backstage message board.
Yeah, I think that was it. Adults Gang. I think it started at Backstage, and then we all moved it off to the Adults Gang.
Because I was writing the column for Backstage, casting cues, 99 to 2003, and answering questions on the message board. And I just remember going like, oh, this Anna Vo, she's smart. She got a head on her shoulders. I like her.
Yeah, and then we loved each other like right away, which didn't surprise me.
One of many online romances in our lives. Yes,
exactly.
So take us to the move to LA, because obviously if you had already decided, wow, this voiceover thing is a thing, what then would make you choose moving to the major on-camera market?
Well, voiceover wasn't my main thing. And I certainly, that was the only job that I had done. And then a friend of mine was editing, a local Jerry Springer affiliate promos. Because sometimes you'll see a national promo, and then sometimes you'll see, you know, the affiliate where it's like in reruns on Channel 20, watch Jerry Springer, and there was like crazy promos. So I wound up doing those, and I was like, I always wanted to do this, but I didn't get serious about it until I moved to LA. I moved to LA to become an on-camera actor and a comedic actor. So which was hard to leave my theater. We actually wound up doing at my theater, the whole experience culminated in the founding cast doing a pilot for Fox. And once that didn't get picked up, we were kind of like, well, maybe it's time to move on. Because we've done stuff. We've shot movies. You know what I mean? We've done stuff. And Atlanta, by the way, at that time, didn't have the big tax credit that it has now. So there wasn't a lot going on film and television wise. So it was like, it's time to go. And it's either New York or LA. And we had a 2-year-old and we figured LA would be a lot more accessible to having a small child. So we chose LA. That was literally that arbitrary.
And so then how did the voiceover begin to have the snowball effect for you?
Well, I kind of thought I did a trade show. I had a company in Atlanta that would fly me to their English speaking trade shows and they would pay me $1,000 a day. So if I would do a 4-day trade show, that'd be $4,000. So I was able to sock away a little bit of money, and I socked away, I think about $5,000. And I asked my husband, because I do believe you should have this conversation with your significant other if you're going to spend a lot of money, because it is an investment. I have a whole thing about how don't just hemorrhage cash and throw it out. Be really specific and make the investment in your career. I think it's a better, more focused way for things to pay off. So it feels a little painful at first to pay that money, especially if you were like me and paying off student loans for a degree you weren't using, and then making additional investments. So I decided to be deliberate about it and pursue it very slowly while I was doing on-camera stuff. And in 2005, we shot a sketch comedy show called The Lance Crawl Show for Spike TV. So we did that. And I was shooting commercials. I had an on-camera commercial agent right away. But it wasn't until July 2003 that I got my first voiceover demo. And then I got my first agent shortly after that. But then it took a little while to get some momentum. So kind of the on-camera thing and the voiceover thing were kind of going at the same time. And then things were really cooking. And I did an on-camera series, the free radio series that was for, at the time, VH1, but then it moved over to Comedy Central. That was 2008, 2009. And then when that got canceled, like I'll go do a sitcom every now and then if I happen to do that, you know what I mean? But voiceover took off so much that the on-camera stuff is like, it's still there and I still love it and I want to do it, but it's the bread and butter. You know what I mean? You gotta get on the horse the way it's going.
Make your paper,
honey.
Let's back up to that first voiceover demo, 2003.
Yeah.
What, because a lot of people go like, oh, I just need to put together a recording of, I remember my first ever voiceover cassette tape.
Yeah, baby, with a J card.
Yeah. Here I am doing this accent and this accent and this. Oh, it was.
You're saying all the things that you know are going to trigger a rant in me.
rant on. Let's do it. What does someone who goes like, oh, I need to get into this. What is some of that basic, like, oh, please don't make these 10 mistakes.
Oh God, I should have written a list of the 10 mistakes.
random number.
There are so many mistakes, and I've made most of them, and the ones I haven't, I've seen others make. So we've all learned from each other, I think. And that being said, you're still going to make mistakes. That's the best teacher in the world. So it's okay. But if I can tell you a couple things that maybe save you a few dollars, or, I mean, that is a thing too, with a lot of actors, because our monies can get spread kind of thin, because there's a lot of things that we need to spend money on. If it's classes, or if it's headshots, or if it's a demo, or if it's this, that, or the other thing, rent. Okay. Mistakes. I considered for a red hot minute, there was a friend of a friend and who said he could put together like a really short demo for like $300 or $400. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I looked into it. I didn't spend the money. I didn't do it, because what it was ultimately was like him just recording you doing three different spots. And so you get three different copies, three different fake ads, which all a demo is a collection of fake ads anyway. So it's not like it was that crazy. But when I realized I was going to spend $300 or $400 and then have to take that to somebody else and then have to record more content because it wasn't enough content for a full demo. And there's nothing wrong with him offering that. I just think that it's not enough. That's right. Not what the marketplace demands. The marketplace demands you having a full professionally produced 1 minute commercial demo. I find it to be the best way to break in. It's the fastest way to remunerate your investment. It is, at the time my demo was $1,000. I think the going rate now is $1,500 to $1,800. There are some people who charge $4,000. They're not one of the coaches that I recommend, but they're very good. I don't want to spend that, but,
On-camera actors go like, oh, it's just so expensive to get started. And I'm like, get into voiceover. You want to talk expensive to get started.
Well, here's what I did. Again, I was very methodical. For the first thing I did, there's a site called voiceoverresourceguide.com. But it used to be, well, I think it is still a hard copy. It's like a thin, tall book that always has a microphone on the front. Oh, you probably have one there.
I was looking for it, yeah.
voiceoverresourceguide.com has every single coach advertises in it. And you can click on all their links. And I researched the coaches that I liked and I narrowed it down to three and then got in touch with them. And like, because I knew that if I'm spending this much money, I want to make an educated decision. And then go to voicebank.net and listen to demos. You know what I mean? Educate yourself. And then wait, what did you say just now? Because I had something else.
No. I was saying that there's that whole, like, how you're hemorrhaging money to get into any kind of creative career, but yes. Voiceover is specifically one where it's not just go get your $200 headshot. It's a $200 voiceover demo is shit. Does you no good whatsoever.
Right.
You are $1,000 to start at minimum.
Where in 2003.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's $2,003.
And an on-camera career, you don't actually have to have that much invested in to at least do your first submission at Actors Access, for example.
It's interesting how the barrier to entry is lower for an on-camera acting career. However, everybody who is making money and consistently booking at an on-camera spent more, whether they were educated in classes or, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. So it is funny how, like, it's that whole thing of like, well, I printed business cards and now I'm an internet marketer. Like, it's like, I opened a Twitter account.
Therefore, I'm a social media expert. Like, exactly.
Yeah. It is the same thing with voiceover, because now anybody can get a microphone and get a Voice 123 profile for $400 a year and be like, I'm in voiceover. Are you booking things? You know, it takes a little bit of startup. So I went to a SAG Foundation lecture by Bob Bergen.
Yeah, he's great.
He's amazing. And he's such a mensch. He can't help but help people, especially a lot of the voiceover boards. I don't remember the names of the sites. You could Google voiceover forums or whatever. He helps people so much. And he said something that stuck in my mind. In the 80s, he spent $10,000 to study with everybody and get his demo done, which I'm sure in the 80s was a cassette or even a reel to reel. He spent $10,000 in 80s dollars to be an out of work voice actor. And I thought to myself, well, now that the barrier of entry is even lower with the technology we have, I could certainly earmark $5,000 and do this in a smart way. And that's kind of what kicked my ass to do it. So yeah, you need to study if you haven't studied. And even if you are an actor and you're very studied and you're a very good actor, you need to take some lessons and learn the microphone.
Let's talk about this a little bit because you fired up a Periscope right before we started today's live broadcast, this interview. And you were talking about how you had gone to the Cricket Feet Showcase and scouted a couple of actors that you're like, oh, you've got a good sound. Send me your stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you heard some things that made you say, not quite it. What is it that is the bare minimum that folks need to do? Because I don't want people to get into the mindset of, oh, I just have to throw money at real.
True. Like,
because that's not it. It's the training, it's the prepping, it's the consuming all the information. I mean, you tell me what is
training is the most important thing, because I feel I studied with Nancy Wolfson and I love her curriculum. I also recommend Bill Holmes, David Lawrence, and Chuck Duran. Those four are my favorites, who I always recommend. I feel like because they are the best people to train with, they will teach you, as well as the best demo producers, because I think whoever produces your demo should know you a little bit, know your flavor. And they both and I'm not going to like reveal their secrets, but all those people have their way of doing demos that are really good and really smart. And they're like nerds about demos, where they're not going to put like, you know, what's his name, who's been the voice of Lexus for 25 years. They're not going to put a Lexus spot on. And it seems so like nitpicky. Well, if you sound like you could be a good voice for Lexus, why not put a Lexus clip on your demo? But it could, an agent would go, ugh. You know what I mean?
That job's taken.
So, yeah. It's so silly, but it's like a demo is a collection of fake spots that you want to sound like real spots, like real work you've done.
And then
it's such a weird thing. But
at what point does your demo become actual spots rather than the fake?
Oh God. I mean, that's probably the most annoying thing is when you realize, I listened back to my demo and I was like, oh, I don't sound like that anymore. I sound older. And so I pop on different real spots and it's better to let a demo producer do it.
Yeah.
And in fact, it might even be worth it at this point for me to go in and have Nancy do a new demo for me, just entirely new. I could bring in stuff maybe that she could use. I did bring in, when I first went in 2003, I brought in copies of everything that I had done, like a Georgia Lotto spot and that AT&T spot and the thing and the promos. And she was just like, eh. She was like, no, we're not using any of those.
She tells it like it is.
Yeah, she does. Wait, what did you ask?
The question was about, because when I think of on-camera actors, when they do their demo reels for commercial,
yeah,
there comes a point where they say, oh, do I put my actual physical commercials that I've booked on my demo reel? But then there's that question of, does that talk the buyer out of considering you for campaign?
Oh, because of conflicts.
Right. And so as a voiceover actor,
it's not an issue at all with voiceover. They assume that your demo's not. And in fact, now it's getting to the place where there you can actually get those snippets separate and your agent can just send, here's the Quaker Chewy thing off her demo, so she'd be perfect for the thing. They don't. I mean, unless you're like a big recognizable voice. That's
like
not
a Mike Rowe or something where everyone knows that, oh, that's
yeah.
Not her.
Yeah. By the way, if any voiceover actors are out there listening and they have their stuff up on the interwebs, which they should. Oh, let me back that out even. So I went to go find some Hispanic lady voices. And so I Google female Hispanic voiceover. And now all the big, I call them VO bay, all the big VO bays have like taken over the search results in Google. And it was really hard for me to find people. But I've also Googled Mike Rowe voiceover.
Yeah.
Because I know that my client can't afford Mike Rowe, but wants to hear dudes that sound like Mike Rowe. And I tell you what, one dude I found on Google who had the foresight to meta tag his stuff with Mike Rowe, I found him and he got the job. So if you sound like somebody, Morgan Freeman, you know what I mean? If you sound Lauren Bacall, Demi Moore, like there are these different voice archetypes. If you do legit sound like them, meta tag it in your site, because it make it easy for people to find you, because Google is the new talent agent.
I love that phrase. That's fantastic. You also have been my go-to for when I've been casting voiceover spots, because that's not my thing. But every now and then, like when I was working on Bite Me, we needed somebody to do the voice of Barack Obama. And
right.
So I was like, Anna, tell me who to go to for a Barack Obama sounding voice. And you're like, oh, here are the top three. And I was like, how do we know who these top three go-tos are?
You need to tell people who you are on the internet.
So let's talk about that. How do we tell people who we are without being promote-y, braggy? I mean, this gets into the whole self-management for actors branding.
I'm the worst at that because I
are you the worst?
About promoting stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah, you kind of have to extract it from you. That's true.
I do. Because first of all, I don't ever want to say I did something until it's already aired because I don't know if I'm cut out. And then I don't want to say that I did. I don't know. Sometimes clients, especially video game clients, they don't want to match up the person with the voice because they want to have this suspended, you know, disbelief thing. And I just get paranoid and I always ask permission before I can do it. And this happened a couple months ago, a big game that I worked on over a year of working on this game replaced me. And I didn't know it until I checked IMDb. And I was like, oh God, thank God I didn't tweet about it or I'd feel like a real heel. Actually, there's one tweet. Somebody sent me a tweet saying I heard the thing at like BlizzCon or whatever, the convention where it was announced. And she's like, you're in that game. And because they were using a code name, I actually tweeted her back and said, no, I'm not in that game. And then I watched it and I was like, oh no, I am in that game. And then they replaced me. And so I was like, no, I'm not in that game. Good times.
Let's get a little braggy for a second. What's some of the stuff? Because I know I hear your voice.
I haven't been fired from yet?
Yeah, because I hear your voice in my head all the time, but I just assume that's, you know, because your voice is always in my head. But it's also sometimes I'm walking through the living room and I go, wait, why is Anna talking to me? And I'm like, oh damn, ABC is on again. Like what are some of the things you're proud of?
ABC is a really cool thing. I promo their Thursday night lineup, which they call TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. And that's actually credited to a writer on staff named Melissa that they have. And she has been trying to get a woman voice on the air for years. She managed to get females hired on Oxygen, which doesn't seem like it should be that hard.
That should have been the easier
it's
one.
It's a network for women.
Yeah.
So she got, and it was funny because I'm so nonplussed about getting hired and nonplussed about getting fired because I'm just so used to like things going. So she was like, I don't think you understand. We've been trying to get a woman hired since I've been here for 3 years. And then there were like 5,000 people who auditioned for this job and you got it. So I'm like the sassy Thursday night voice promoting the Shondaland shows, which by the way, I should tweet at Shonda Rhimes because I don't even think she knows how much she pushes the envelope. Nobody thinks about gender parity in promos, but really there are not very many women voicing promos, unfortunately. And there are certainly not very many people of color voicing promos.
This is where it got really specific for me because until there was was it New York Times? There was an article that came out about
I think it was a BuzzFeed article.
That was like the first ever female voice of prime time. And I was like, first of all, why is that fucking news that we're in 2015, 2016, and this is happening. I mean, and then yay, finally. But then I started paying attention and I realized I so take it for granted that every voice that is promoting every show on every network is a dude. It's a dude. It's a dude. And I'm like, whoa, suddenly it's a chick and it's you. And like, that's phenomenal. And I do
think
agree.
It definitely pops more and I'm hearing more female voices. And in fact, ABC has hired more female voices that I've heard, different ages and different, you know what I mean? They're trying to go there, but it is funny because we're used to voiceover in the '50s was like this father knows best announcery voice that says, you late housewives, why don't you buy, you know, soap flakes from blah, 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 get Crest, you know, whatever. Like it was all very father knows best. And, very condescending. And then it started to become, you know, it always follows the trends. Like the 90s were like disillusionment. And so everybody had kind of like the non-plus kind of sound. And then 9/11 happened and people started warming up in advertising and being more heartfelt. And it follows trends. And now things are very techy and trying to be cutting edge. And there's a really like young sound. I'm talking mostly about commercials, but commercials have changed with the times, and also advertisers know that women make all the buying, not all of it, but most of the buying decisions. They have the control the purse strings of the buying dollars. So, but there are certain things that are still very male driven. Movie trailers and promos are still very male driven. So,
Anna, as talent, what is your, and I mean the collective, your responsibility for tracking those kinds of trends? Like, you just went through a list of things that I'm imagining a lot of voiceover artists would, I don't think, even calculate, like, oh, wow, that is a trend. That, I mean, is it part of your job to yes. stay up on where things are headed?
Yes. Thank you for lobbing me that softball.
And how do you do it? Well, because now it's going to get hard. How do you do it?
You got to watch TV. Fortunately, I'm very good at watching TV. What drives me crazy is when somebody wants to be an actor or a voice talent and they skip over commercials. If you want to make money, I mean, if you never want to work in commercials, that's fine. But you need to watch them and understand kind of what's going on. Plus, frankly, commercials are very competitive. They're very cleverly made. A lot, they have huge budgets. So it's like, they're honestly, a lot of them are like 30-second films. And it's very interesting. Now, granted, overall picture, commercials are just a way to manipulate you into buying shit you don't need. Yes. Okay. We know that. But how are they doing it? How are they executing it? What tricks, tools are they using? Because generally that's going to affect your read. Now, I'm not saying that you should try to sound like the girl that you heard on the Kellogg's commercial. But if you think that you're right for the Kellogg's commercial, at least have seen some Kellogg's commercials to see what, you know, style, flair, flavor they're going for, tone, cadence, yada, yada. So I'm very big on doing that. If you want to work in audiobooks, you sure as hell better listen to some audiobooks. If you want to work in cartoons, why aren't you watching cartoons? If you want to, even radio commercials you should listen to, because they're very different than television commercials. Very different. What's another one? I mean, we all make fun of the PSAs. Because we all like think of like after school specials or PSAs from when we were kids. They're very different now. So
phone on hold. I remember there was a time that you were doing the voice of the, like, press one for, I mean.
Oh my God, listen to this. So I do Delta Dental of Washington's phone system. And yesterday morning I had a narration job for Cigna Dental. I said Delta Dental.
Ooh. Conflict.
And I was like, oh God. Like, I was like, that's crazy. One time I did say, I was like doing this thing where I was doing it this week on ABC, but I was like, this week on NBC. What did I just say? And then they recorded it and they kept playing it back to me going, ha, you're fired. I was like, I said AMC. That's what I said instead of ABC. And they're like, are you the new voice of AMC? I was like, no, because they would never hire a woman.
So let's talk about a day in the life of a voiceover artist, because okay. The way you're talking about this, if I don't know that basically you come packing with a mic and the headphones and like, there's never a place that you are that you can't make an audition happen.
What, yeah.
Talk back, through that.
Actually, see, this is a podcasting mic, but see that black thing back there? Behind that is my Sennheiser. It was on my laptop. I could show you guys, but I'm on a desktop right now. Oh yeah. Hearts, baby. A day in the life. Okay. So I have my calendar on a Google calendar, and my agents and my managers have access to that. And I put in anything, any times that I want to block off. And so I have to decide, like, if I'm going to put a hair appointment during the week, which I can't because I'm busy, but if I want to put something, or like, for instance, yesterday afternoon, I went to a screening of a web series that I did. So I had to put that on my calendar, and then it doesn't matter. They still call me and they go, can you rush back and do this job for the thing? And in fact, they just called and said, they said, when are you available in an evening for a video game job? And I said, Wednesday, I can do this Wednesday. And then they call back and said, great, you're booked for Tuesday. So even with the calendar, they don't listen. They just book me when they want to book me. So my agents, the best way I communicate with them is over text. They do call, but they know that that's how I like to communicate, because generally I'm recording and I don't have my phone sound on. I very rarely see that my phone is rung. So they text me. That's the fastest way to get in touch with me. Sometimes my schedule will be fairly empty in the, like today we had this, and I had two narration sessions earlier, but since then I've now have a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock scheduled. So it kind of happens that, oh, there's ABC. They just sent me a thing for Mistresses. Going to promo Mistresses, which is their new summer Mondays on ABC. So that'll come up. So if I want to travel, that's fine. I do have ISDN at home in my studio. ISDN is a box that's really expensive called a codec. I have a Telos Zephyr Extreme. I got it off of eBay for $3,900, but full price, they're about $6,000. I did it 6-7 years ago. It was a wonderful investment in the studio. Don't buy one if you're just starting out. You don't need to. You can graduate to that. You'll know when you start losing jobs because you don't have your own ISDN, then it's time to get an ISDN box. And even so, from this point forward, you might not even need one because now we have Source Connect, which is another $650, which I bought recently so that I could do ABC from other places and not have to book myself in an ISDN studio. I was unable to go to a friend's wedding last year in Savannah because there is no ISDN studio in Savannah, Georgia. And I was really bummed about that. So I've been working on them, and then they're getting Source Connect installed so that we can work from wherever. So Source Connect is a protocol that basically uses, if you have good internets, you guys can, they can record what's going through microphone in real time. So I have my microphone that's back there is travel. It can come with me and it hooks into my computer. I always get stopped at TSA because it's called a shotgun mic and it looks like a shotgun. Yeah. So I have to warn them.
They don't like that. Yeah.
They don't like that, but then they're fine. Then they're like, oh, cool. You do voiceover. And then they don't care. What was I saying? Oh yeah. The day in life. That's pretty much it. I just have to be available a lot.
Now, you also have a podcast life, a on-camera life, a producing life, a mom life, a cookbook. Like, what? How do you manage? One of the big things I always want to talk about in anything self-management for actors is how do you balance your creative life and your business life, and especially with as many pots as you have on the stove?
Hold on, I'm opening my calendar. I actually had to, let me see if I can put it to weekly. I had to have a session with a coach. Something, it's not printing right. I had to have a session with a coach because I couldn't manage my time very well. Here's what I was doing. I would get up in the morning, and in all my free, my key time to work is from 8 a.m. before lunchtime. I get the most done. I have identified as that is my key work time. Excuse me. And what I would do is do most of my auditions during that time. And then I would just be exhausted by the afternoon and not get anything done for the blog. I wouldn't create a new recipe. So I've gotten really specific with my schedule. Tori comes Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we cook a new recipe for the blog/next cookbook every Tuesday and Thursday, because if I stay on that schedule, I can be done within a year and have 100 new recipes. I have a schedule of time now where it's like, I have to write my e-blast Monday afternoons to go out the following week. Like, I have to, I'm going to do something crazy because I'm a voice talent and a comedian. I have my time scheduled for when I'm going to write stand up. I've scheduled it out, and whether I stick to that remains to be seen, but I'm working on it. It's gotten better. I'm going to do an audiobook of my cookbook. Why would someone do that? That doesn't make any sense. Nobody ever does audiobooks for cookbooks. It's not like you're going to listen to it and be like, oh, now I just made shepherd's pie because I heard you tell me the ingredients. You have to read it, right? But what I'm going to do is it's what Vinny did with his book. It's called a lanyap, which is a little something extra.
And Vinny, for people who don't know, Vinny,
my co-host. Vinny is my co-host on the Angriest Trainer podcast. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. It's a health and fitness podcast. He is a trainer. I cover the food part. We both have a lot of fun together. It's a very funny podcast. It maybe has 2 to 3 to 10 minutes of fitness and about 40 minutes of fucking off. It's a great time waster. But we figured out very quickly. He talks about not eating sugars and grains, and I figured out I cook that way. So, you know, I do the recipe component. But what I'm going to do is tell a story before each recipe. So I want to make it a fun. It's going to be a fun audio cookbook. Anyway, when am I going to get that done? When is that going to happen? I will not crack the whip on myself unless I have a schedule. And I have a schedule, but then ABC calls and needs a session at 1. Okay, fine. So I pop out here for 15 minutes and I do that, and I go back inside and continue to work. But I have to be bossy to myself. And I have also had to hire somebody to do a lot of editing for me. So I still edit all my own auditions. I've also gotten very sloppy sometimes and I'll forget to send auditions because I get so busy and that's not okay. So I've had to like really have a come to Jesus with myself about that. I have agents, my LA agents in New York and LA and New York is Abrams, but then I also have regional agents in Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, and Denver. And so they're all sending copy. Every now and then there's crossover, so I don't, you know, you always default to your home market agent is what I say. But, you know, it's a lot of auditioning and a lot of scheduling of sessions and a lot of back and forth. And
well, and I think that's the big picture with all of this is that you have to have enough of a schedule that you can keep things on track and then you can be interrupted because there are things that you got, like you just got the email from ABC and they're telling you, oh, now we have this other promo and you've got to get this done. You got to wedge it into your schedule and you can't go, well, no, but you also have to stay disciplined about keeping the schedule you've set up for yourself. What is your spirit balance in all of this? How do you keep yourself sane? I mean, because this is a lot.
I try to meditate first thing when I get up in the morning. I have a spiritual practice where I write in my book. I have a spiritual practice where I try to identify beliefs, limiting beliefs that I was holding, whether it's on a personal subject or career, anything that made me, you know, tense up and get out of sorts. There's generally a belief, like if something pissed me off, why did it piss me off? What belief did it bring out? And I'm very focused on, trying to unearth and unroot those beliefs that really are ultimately are nonsensical and don't serve me anymore. So I just have to make time for that usually during coffee in the morning. Although sometimes I'll start as early as 6:30 or 7 a.m. doing sessions because my clients are on the East Coast sometimes, but you know, so yeah, that's important. Working out sometimes goes by the wayside, but I try to at least walk the dog around the block.
That'll help. That'll help. I want to open things up for questions. If anybody who's here with us on the live broadcast wants to pop in and ask quick questions before we wrap things up, but you have a couple minutes to stick with me a little bit.
Oh yeah, totally.
Awesome. But as we transition into any questions that people have and want to throw up either in the sidebar or join us in the hot seat here, could you share with everyone how they can stay in touch with you, your website, social media, the book, like what do we need to know?
Yeah. I'm at Anna Vicino on everything. If you go to annavicino.com and sign up for my email list, I blast out, you know, new recipes. And also that list is going to get the update on the book. Like you're going to get more bonuses and stuff like that for the book, meal plans and all sorts of fun stuff. An additional PDF too, with additional recipes I didn't have room for in the book. Not that didn't make it in, but I didn't have room for them. Anna Vicino on Instagram. That's Instagram and Snapchat is my new favorite time waster. I love it because I think that this is for all actors. It's an opportunity to tell a story. Because that's what you do. You do Snapchat story. And especially if you have any sort of comedic inkling at all, there's a lot of fun things that you can do with Snapchat. And it's not just for dick pics. I'm at Anna Vicino on that. Twitter is always good. I have scheduled recipes to go up twice a day on Twitter. I feel like Twitter is like my new part-time job because I want to answer everyone's questions. And it's mostly people because Vinny is now on the Adam Carolla show on a regular basis. And, so it's a lot of answering food questions on Twitter, but, my list, I love blasting out stuff that I love, stuff that makes me happy, books I've read and things.
One of the questions that we have here from Jonathan is I'm curious about the similarities between podcasting and voiceover, because you've got both going on, obviously. Where are they similar? Where are they different?
Well, both require authenticity. Podcasting more so than voiceover. That could be misleading. But podcasting requires you to speak authentically and openly usually about your life. Usually the best podcasts are the ones where you're getting to know the podcasters, where they're talking about what's going on in their lives, where they're asking questions. I mean, listen, it's super fun for me because I get to interview these doctors about all this cutting edge stuff, but I'm also like asking for me, you know what I mean? And so people know like, oh, she had a cyst on her ovary 3 years ago and wound up in the emergency room. And you know what I mean? People know stuff about me that most people wouldn't want to say in the public forum. But I'm also like, if it happened to me, it happened to other people. So I want to I'm the guinea pig, you know? Voiceover is to me very fun in a different way. You still have to be authentic. You still have to be yourself. Like my pet peeve when I get castings back are anybody of any age group, when it says that we want a real authentic read, when they try to sound younger or try to sound older, like don't try to be something that you're not when you're doing voiceover, because I'll just hire a 50-year-old woman or I'll just hire a 22-year-old woman.
This kind of goes to the self-management factors bullseye thing, which is, yes, we know you can stretch to anywhere else on the dartboard, but it's somebody else's bullseye. So why would the buyer ever go to the person who can reach there when they can just get the person that does it effortlessly?
I'd rather hear you with the older sounding voice read it how you would read it than trying to put on like a younger sounding, because that already sounds like a middle-aged woman trying to sound younger. Like you could just, something about not seeing a face and just hearing a voice, you just cut right to the bullshit. Mm. Now, of course, if you're doing a little boy voice for a cartoon or a British accent evil villain for a video game, it's different. Like, I'm not being authentically an evil British Dame Judi Dench buzzkill villain. Like, it's awesome. You know what I mean? That's not who I am in my real life. Yeah. So there are fun acting opportunities. I want to say that, but a lot of the times how you're going to make money is just by being yourself. And who I am is a middle-aged lady who's a comedian.
From Jonathan, yes, I love that. Is voiceover location dependent?
For some aspects it is, but really, no. I mean, there's a lot of people all over the place make very good money. I think talent and availability trump location every time. Don't audition for the project if you're never available for the job. I think that people are making a lot of money in middle America doing voiceover from their homes. Oh, so let me talk about that real quick. I wrote down some of the different streams. Okay, now some of these are only accessible via agents. I'm going to tell you right now, animation and video games are only going to be accessible through agents. I think I got somebody contacting me about a video game directly one time, but then I still send it through my agency. You know what I mean? Like, that's regulated. but that being said, you could do audiobooks tomorrow. You could do phone on hold or IVR, which IVR stands for interactive voice response. You could do that work tomorrow. You could find company, you could do the voicemail on your friend's company's voicemail and make $200 tomorrow. It's just a matter of seeking that stuff out. Instructional videos on the web. You can contact corporations and send them your demo and say, hey, I'm a voice talent. I have my home studio. Let me do your corporate narrations. You could do that tomorrow. You could email those people. let's see. Video games, apps. That's a huge one. Apps need voices. For TV, we've got commercials. There's national versus cable. Sometimes you'll be the voiceover in a commercial. Sometimes you'll just do taglines. Because you know how you'll hear John Hamm do the whole Mercedes commercial, and then at the end, a lady's voice comes on, for well-qualified buyers, $3.99 a month on a C-Class, or whatever the offer is. Sometimes you'll just do the tag, which I do a lot of those for Ford, and they pay pretty darn good. They don't run them very long, but they pay good once you're in on those. Narrating TV shows. Narrate all those reality shows that are being narrated. Reality shows, docuseries are not going anywhere. Sometimes they'll have the on-camera talent narrate them, but most of the time it's a voiceover talent. PSAs and interstitials. Again, we talked about that. Cartoons, promos. We talked about that for a while. Radio commercials. Internet. there are commercials, which they now call pre-rolls, which is when you click on a YouTube video and you have to watch the whole. Now, it used to be skip ad after 4 seconds, but now I notice most of them are making you sit through the whole 15 seconds. They're called pre-rolls. On the internet too, narrating videos, corporate and industrial videos. I mean, there's so much narration that needs to be done. You know, the whole trend now is like animating cute, like either it's hand or a whiteboard with like words that come up, or it's like little animated character. Meet Jill. Jill is the HR manager for this. You know, like there's so many, and people want to do that. And they have entire marketing departments to make these videos that you could email their head of marketing or their whoever. Streaming TV shows. GPS systems. Go to your app store and look up GPS systems. It's not just for Siri. You know what I just read on? I was on hold a couple of years ago for, I'm not going to say the client, but there are different instructional videos on, let's say, Netflix or Verizon Fios, or there's instructionals in that system. Like when you buy that system to teach you how to, and they're very complex. IVR stuff, which we talked about, what it's called is concatenating. So you will sit and record one, 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 two, two, two. You'll record every inflection of every phonetic combination number, hundreds, you know, for banks, airlines, insurance companies, like Toyota Financial is one, the United States Postal Service is one that I do that for. And there are companies that specifically create these systems, these IVR systems, and they concatenate your voice together into that. And they have a roster of talent. So you should be submitting to these places and get on their rosters. Video games, we talked about apps, we talked about movie trailers. Now, movie trailers are a little tougher to get into. Here's how I got into movie trailers. I voice match celebrities.
Awesome. Like the fact that I was going, wait, is that the celeb or is that Anna? Ooh, I can't tell. It's so cool.
Well, sometimes they can just punch in a word that you've said because they can't get the celebrity in the thing, and then you get paid for the whole project. And then other times, like this just happened, so I don't want to say what the project is, but it's an animated series where a celeb, I voiced her and I got the job, and I walked in and I said, this is last week. I said, am I doing, you know, what do we got here? Are we just doing a couple lines, or is it like a word here and there? And they're like, no, I don't think you understand. She's dropped out. She's unable to do the series anymore. You have the part.
Holy shit.
I know. So I was like, so you know what I mean? That skill has come in very handy, and I've voice matched a number of ladies. And then sometimes you'll loop the movie, and that is location dependent. You do have to be in LA or New York for those, or wherever they're editing the film, because wherever they're doing post-production on the film, they'll have you come in.
Yeah.
You have to be in the space to loop it. And looping is a whole thing. That's a whole different ball of wax. These people get into these loop groups.
Looping,
and do ADR,
also called ADR. Yeah. And that's a very specific subset of this. Yeah.
And they're doing it, man. They're driving a Lexus, honey. Them loop groups. Get in them.
But really, it's that there are, it sounds like, dozens of opportunities that are location independent.
Yes,
as long as you have the technology.
Medical narrations.
Yeah.
There are companies making medical devices, making prescription drugs. They have all kinds of medical narrations where if you can say words well, like the omnioscope protrudes past. I don't know. I cannot improvise medical terminology.
But you and I were in a hotel room in Vegas for New Media Expo, and you got out your microphone, did medical jargon for a half hour. And then you're like,
I was bossing the client around.
That was amazing. Cause you're like, now we can just go downstairs and gamble. Cause look at all the money I just made in the hotel room, busting out some voiceover. Jonathan's coming back asking what's the basic equipment you need? And I'm wondering, do you have like a list, a go-to?
Here's what I'm going to do. I tell you what, Jonathan, I'm going to do a kit because I've been saying I'm going to do that.
So and
I'm going
to do excited.
I'm going to do a kit that's going to have everything, and I'm going to mark it as this is starter stuff. This is, you know, mid-career stuff, and this is advanced stuff. Like, I'm going to be really specific about it because I'll tell you exactly what to get.
Excellent.
I'll do that.
Good.
That's, I might, in fact, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to write make kit.
Yeah. I saw a kit when you tweeted it yesterday and I was like, okay, first of all, why don't you text me when you find something cool like this?
I thought I did. Did I not?
No,
I meant to.
No. And you're in trouble. And so
I love you, Jonathan.
And so when
I am in trouble, I'm trying to defer from Bonnie getting
yelling. I see what to do it. Yeah. Cause I was like, how is this a thing? And your tech mommy didn't hear about this first. My God, I'm so excited. But yes, you need to make a voiceover kit and make that available for people so that they know the go-tos for all the basics and the intermediate and the advanced. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, because I think that if you really wanted to get started on the cheap, you could do it for for just equipment. You could definitely do it for under $200, $300.
And then there's the demo.
Now. There's a demo but that's all. That's not even this. Your room has to be quiet. So you might even spend $250 on, see those things behind me? Foam.
Girl got some foam.
And I have it on the other side of the room too, because I'm in my big garage that's been remodeled into a thing. Acoustic panels, acoustic foam, acoustic foam. Where did I get it from? I'll have to put it in my
kit.
Yeah. Foam.
And so when,
and by the way, don't get 2-inch foam, which is what's widely available on the internet. You have to get 3 to 4 inch.
And when we go to annabuccino.com, there will be somewhere in the sidebar that we can get your stand-up schedule, this kit, the cookbook, the mailing list, like that's just our go-to.
All the crazy shit I do that doesn't make a damn bit of sense is all on annabuccino.com.
It makes a damn bit of sense because it makes you happy, girl.
It does.
It does. Thank you.
But you know what? I just want to say this real quick. You know who opened me up to that? Because I felt like everybody was specializing. And then it was Gary Vaynerchuk, who said in Crush It that if you like dogs, but you also are gluten-free, that you should do both of those things and just have at it. And look at what people are doing. They're diversifying and they're following their passions.
Yeah, because we're done with the generation of you've got that one thing that you do and that's all you do and God
bless
you.
You can only be a film actor.
Yeah, no, that's over. That's so over. And I love that because we're getting to see people that are creating not just film and television and web series and they're producing and they're working in different areas of entertainment, but then they're also creating their product line. They've got their fragrance. They've got their cool cocktail or whatever it is. And it's the stuff that turns them on that keeps everybody going. And I think that's awesome that we're generationally seeing that shift.
Yeah, I agree.
I love that you found a way to make that work.
Food and comedy. Who knew?
Oh, no. Awesome. Anna, you're wonderful. I so appreciate you being a part of
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.